lovelies, welcome back to another episode of Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
This is it, you guys. We made it through our final listener request episode. This week, we're taking on The Deadlands, as requested by the Cinephiles and Cinebites podcast, as well as Bone Tomahawk, as requested by my friend Javi, who is now live in studio. Welcome, Javi!
Hi, thanks.
Welcome.
Thank you.
You are the first male to be on our podcast. How does that feel?
I feel honored.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Javi actually listens to our show, which is exciting and very nice of him.
I mean, you know, you're entertaining to listen to.
I appreciate that. You're very sweet.
Thank you. Aww.
Okay. So, spoiler alert, guys. If you haven't seen these movies yet, please proceed with caution as we are a spoiler-heavy podcast. This goes double for Bone Tomahawk. For real. If you have not seen Bone Tomahawk, go fucking watch Bone Tomahawk five times before you listen to this.
Yeah.
It's on Amazon Prime. No excuses. Do it. Okay. Before we jump into the movies, let's get started with a segment we like to call
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's trailer is Phoenix Forgotten, with a U.S. release date of April 21st, directed by Justin Barber, not Bieber, Barber.
I totally read it as Bieber when I first was looking at it.
Me too. I was like, Justin Bieber?
It won't be long before he starts making movies, I'm sure.
Let's just hope it's not horror movies, because god damn it. This is Justin Barber's directorial debut, so way to go, I guess. Also written by T.S. Nowlin, who wrote the Maze Runner films. The IMDb summary is 20 years after three teenagers disappeared in the wake of mysterious lights appearing above Phoenix, Arizona. God, this is just one big run-on sentence. Who writes these things? Let me try this again.
I don't know.
I'm going to try to add some punctuation here that's necessary. 20 years after three teenagers disappeared in the wake of mysterious lights appearing above Phoenix, Arizona, unseen footage from that night has been discovered, chronicling the final hours of their fateful expedition. What did you guys think of this trailer?
I thought it looked like what I wanted the Blair Witch to be.
That's what I thought. I was like, oh, the sequel to Blair Witch should have been like this.
Yeah, so been. I'm like, I'm on board.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't normally like the shaky cam POV type of movies.
Yeah.
But yeah, that one looked pretty rad.
I thought it looked okay for found footage. I don't really love the, like, fake static looking thing. I mean, unless it's supposed to be like the 80s or 90s.
It's gotta look 90s, yeah.
Then that makes sense. But now with digital, like everything's digital. That shit doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
I guess maybe if this is supposed to be taking place.
Well, it said, I think, 97.
Oh, did it? Yeah. It's 1997.
Okay, you don't that's
remember
my
that?
Bad.
Phoenix Lights, that actually happened.
Yeah.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
I don't pay attention to that shit.
I love UFO shit. So,
do you?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
I saw them and I was like, oh, I've seen this YouTube video.
Yeah,
before.
Totally.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, I take back everything I said. This looks amazing. Let's do it.
Yeah, I'd watch it.
Okay, cool. Sounds good. Anything else you guys want to talk about? About it? There's definitely a very strong Blair Witch feel to it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which absolutely. Might hurt it, maybe.
Maybe. But they had some cool things. Like, I like the imagery of her hair falling out. Like, that looked pretty rad.
Yeah, if it's not too derivative, I think it'll be a good movie.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see pretty much anything, so... As long as it looks semi-decent. Unless it's like, usually it's just like the huge blockbusters where we're like, I don't know about that one. But usually like the little indie ones we're pretty excited about. All right. Well, let's talk about The Deadlands then. Okay. So The Deadlands, directed by Toa Fraser, written by Glenn Standring. The IMDb summary is, after his tribe is slaughtered through an act of treachery, the teenage son of a slain Maori chieftain looks to avenge his father's murder and bring peace and honor to the souls of his loved ones. This is from 2015, and it is a New Zealand film. And it's not horror, even a little bit.
Well, I mean, it's horror elements.
It has horror elements. I think it's appropriate because it has horror elements. Also, the dudes that recommended this one to us are from Hawaii, And so there's, you know, there's very strong Polynesian ties there. I know my husband, who's also from Hawaii, would really like this movie. And I told him after I watched it that he should check it out because he's definitely has a lot of knowledge and interest in those types of things. Carly, was this your first viewing of The Deadlands?
It was. I've never seen this before. While I agree, I personally don't think it's horror. Like, yes, it's there's some brutal elements to it for sure. I just thought it was a good story and entertaining film. I'm definitely happy that they recommended it because I would not have watched it otherwise.
I wouldn't have either, probably. And I do think it's a good story. I feel like it's pretty, it feels similar to some other movies I saw, but yet it's still different enough that it held my interest the whole time. You know, there's kind of like has almost like a, like if, Last of the Mohicans was like
a little more gory.
Yeah, it was like more gory and had cannibalism and Polynesian people in it.
Yeah.
At least it had that feel to me. Like the story was kind of similar, you know?
Yeah, it's all about honor and glory and male ego.
Yes. So much male ego in this movie.
It's a ton.
It's basically all male ego.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I saw none of myself. No relating to any of the characters in this movie. Except maybe Grandma. By the way, Grandma's haircut was very, like, modern looking. I was confused by her haircut. I was like, shouldn't she have, like, really long hair?
I mean, maybe when you're dead, you get, like, your preferred haircut.
Oh, yeah. You get, like, you get, like, the Vidal Sassoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You spend your time in New Zealand.
Yeah. In the skies in New Zealand.
In the skies, yeah.
Yeah. And
you're like, ooh, I like that one. Yeah.
Looking fabulous, you know?
And then you pull, like, at the craft.
Yeah.
And you're like.
Oh, yeah. And then just, like, Carly totally mimicked, by the way, when they change their hair color in the craft. Carly does this a lot on our podcast, Javi. She mimes things that no one else can enjoy but me.
It's true.
I know. Now I finally get to see it.
I know. I try to describe it. Otherwise, people would be very confused.
That's very true. It's a fair statement.
But she's very good at it. She's got a real talent for it. Javi, you've seen this movie before.
Yeah, it's my second viewing of this one.
And you like it.
It's enjoyable.
Yeah.
It's an enjoyable film. For me, I don't know, maybe it's like the dude point of view.
Right.
I enjoy revenge movies.
Yeah.
Something about them, especially when there's like a good, you know, like I'm going to get revenge kind of like dialogue happening.
Yeah.
Like I wrote here in my notes, the training montage that was happening between the son and the dad.
Yes.
While he's also like having this conversation with this little girl about like how he's going to go take these dudes on. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, fuck yeah. You know, like, you know, and he says some shit like, you know, tell stories about me or something. I don't know.
It's, yeah. There was a lot of tell stories about me, which I appreciated. Like it's the ultimate, like I'm willing to die as long as people are going to tell stories about me.
I'm a fucking legend. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, or just that you're not forgotten because there's no books then. If people don't fucking talk about you, you don't exist anymore. You know, like you
then
you could have
die.
your spirit truly dies. That's right. But I thought it was great. I enjoyed it. I really liked like the weird monster guy in the woods. I liked how we slowly found out about his background.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how his background was pretty much split between the quote-unquote good guy of the movie and the quote-unquote bad guy of the movie, because basically he's like both of them. You know, like the quote-unquote monster, he's the young boy that lost his whole family, and he's also like the bad guy that slaughtered a whole village.
Took his whole family.
Yeah, so he's like both of them, and that was kind of a cool like dichotomy, and I enjoyed that. I thought that was interesting.
Well, he's
choice.
Like what the boy could possibly become.
Totally. You know? And it really like makes the ending that much better.
Yeah.
When he decides to move forward without actually killing his enemy. I mean, because it really just is a cycle, and that's how, you know, and that's, you know, you can kill each other off, you know, and then white people move in and you're fucked.
Yeah.
That's how that's how history
works. That is the moral of the story, I believe.
Yeah.
I did think that it was a little, like, weird how they were making Yo Mama jokes.
Well, it's, again, it's the male ego.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, what's going to hurt you the most? So, like, you talk shit about the woman that birthed you. I mean, that's what we did in middle school, you know?
Yeah. I just think that's interesting. Like, the worst way to insult a man is to insult his mother.
Yeah.
Like, she's an extension of you. Or is it that, like, I don't know. Javi, as the man on the podcast, why don't you explain this to us?
Why is it so offensive? It's, I don't know. It's just, I guess.
Is that,
like,
the worst thing you can think of? I mean, beyond someone insulting your wife.
Not now. I mean, when you're in middle school, you're like, what'd you say about my mom? You know? Like, that was the easiest way to start a fight.
Right.
You know, you just walk up and be like, dude, your mom's fat. And then that's it. And then you fight.
That just seems so funny to me.
Now, as a grown-ass man,
yeah.
talk shit about my mom all you want. Like, you don't know her, so it's whatever.
That's true.
So, I don't know, like...
But not someone's dad, though. I'm just wondering why it's the mom.
It's probably... I would guess it is from the macho perspective that women are weak.
Yeah.
So, you could talk shit about dads, but you know that your dad's not weak, so he can hold his own. But moms need protection. Sisters need protection.
I also feel like there's probably, like, a power control thing where, like, I'm gonna, like, take over your mom. And a lot of times it's like, I'm gonna fuck your mom, or your mom fucks dogs,
well,
or whatever.
This going back to one of the episodes you guys were talking about, I think it was The Landmine Goes Click, and why it is that, you know, these male writers will write in rape.
Yeah.
And it's... I think it's because it's going back to that. Like,
yeah.
You know, if you're raping, like, someone, it's like the ultimate intrusion.
Right.
It's similar with, like, home invasion movies, you know? Like,
yeah.
I think for some people, totally. It's like the same thing. Like, you invade my home or my women, like, fuck you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Dude.
This is my safe space.
Yeah.
And you're coming in here.
Right.
Yeah.
Too much.
Yeah, definitely a lot of machoism. Although I didn't feel like... Probably because women weren't even really in this movie. But the few women that we do see in this movie are pretty...
They're kind of badass.
They're pretty tough.
Yeah.
The grieving women in the village were fucking standing their ground with him. The young girl was like, you're going to fucking lose. You're going to die.
Well, in the scene where they're raiding the village, there's a woman that's fighting those dudes.
Yeah.
Like, she's kicking some ass.
That's totally true. And, like, the quote-unquote witches in the woods are... You know, crazy, but also, like,
they don't
mind fucking standing up to dudes. So that I admire.
Well, and it's the warrior's or the monster's wife, you know, that's telling him, like, you need to go help this kid, so that you can redeem yourself to your family.
Totally,
you know? Like, otherwise, again, his ego wouldn't have allowed him to possibly go and help the kid. You know?
Totally, yeah. So, you know, all in all, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good addition. Anything else you guys want to add before we move in?
There were some great fight scenes.
There were some great fight scenes.
I enjoy action-y movies, so yeah. The hand-to-handness, obviously no CGI, which I appreciate in a good fight scene.
Also, so. I've never seen anyone poop on a skull on film, so that was
real. Yeah, that's a first.
I literally was watching that, like... Is he taking a shit on that skull?
Yeah.
And I was like, am I going to have to rewind this to make sure that... And I was like, oh, yep. That's exactly what he's doing.
I understand why he did that. But why did he have to smear it and then eat it? Because that was troubling to me.
Yes. That was super weird.
There's a lot of stuff in this movie that I was thinking, like... You know, like Tony. Like, I'm sure Tony, if he watches this, he's going to know a lot more about what the hell was going on. Like, because there's a lot of things they're doing, like... You know, before they fight, the dude, like, did the line in the sand, but then he jumped over it to fight the guy.
Yeah.
Where, like, in Western culture, drawing the line in the sand is like, you come over here. Mm. You know, like, if you step over, then we fight.
Right.
So I was like, what is that about?
Yeah, you know, he probably would. My husband knows a lot of shit about shit. And we'll talk a lot about it.
About skull shit.
Yeah. I was just mentioning this movie to him, and I was telling him it was about the Maori. That's what they're called, right? The Maori warriors.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, yeah, they had these sweet paddles with, like, teeth on them. And
yeah,
I'm like, how do you
know
that?
The like, brutal fucking paddles.
Yeah, those paddles.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, sweet, they're going to play ping pong. Nope, that's not what they're doing with those paddles. That's what I
there
thought
was
of.
Like I did like the dynamic between the boy and the warrior, the monster.
I did too.
Because the monster or the warrior, I don't know which one we're going to call him.
Whatever you
either
want.
Either one. You know, he's laying down some like serious knowledge on the kid. You know, they're talking about like being noble and like, you know, that guy didn't die nobly or whatever. And they start going into this conversation about like, what is it to be noble? He says like, I wrote it down, like, he's like, noble ? That is what men teach boys, to get them to go die for their tribe. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't know. It's very relatable to modern day now. Well, I don't know. This doesn't take place in the past, right? Is it modern?
No, I think it takes place in the past.
Does it? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure.
New Zealand's a vast fucking land.
It is.
I don't know if there's still like
it
tribes
is,
out
but
there.
I'm pretty sure this takes place in the past.
Pretty sure Whitey got them all.
Yeah.
Right. Trying to see if there's any hints.
There's not much in terms of time frames, but that's kind of nice.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I did like that he was, you know, he was like not all about tradition.
Yeah, he totally does drop some knowledge. He's like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when you go to college and you realize there's like other ways of thinking about things than what you were taught your whole life.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like he definitely has like some aha moments when he talks to that guy and, you know, gets out in the world. And yeah, I think this was a great story. I liked it. It wasn't too long either. It moved at a pretty brisk pace. There was a couple slower parts, but it didn't take me out of it really.
No, and the scenery is cool. You know,
it's
they
really
do a lot
cool.
of those wide open shots.
Yeah, and those parts where he's talking to his ancestors is like really cool and beautiful, kind of trippy.
I was doing my thing.
Yeah,
watching that one.
I could see that. That would be fun.
Yeah.
All right. What are we doing with time? Yeah, we should be moving on. Let's give more time to Bone Tomahawk, because we all have a bunch to say about that, I bet.
Yes.
Okay, so Bone Tomahawk from 2015, written and directed by S. Craig Zahler, in his directorial debut. How is that a thing? IMDb summary is, four men set out in the Wild West to rescue a group of captives from cannibalistic cave dwellers. This movie is amazing.
So good.
We have some amazing acting in this film.
Yeah.
By some amazing actors.
Yeah.
Especially the Kurt Russell. All hail Kurt Russell.
It took me until, like, I mean, I'd only seen this movie once before, so, but, like, I totally didn't even realize that Richard Jenkins was Chicory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It, like, it's such a good...
blew my mind.
Yeah.
He did a great job, because I didn't either until I was doing some research for this movie, and I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. Same with Matthew Fox, though. I didn't realize that was him when I first seen this movie.
Yeah. It's all the facial hair. It messes everything up. I can't tell who's under there.
True.
Plus, he's, like, so against type in this movie, like,
he
Matthew
is.
Fox. Like, he's usually, like, the everyman.
Yeah.
And then this one, he's very, like, you know, buttoned up, like, talks, like, straight as it is. And, like,
yeah,
I don't know.
He's the dapper.
He's kind of like a robot.
The dapper gentleman.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked it. I love Kurt Russell's facial hair. I love everything about it. I especially like to talk about people's facial hair. I don't know why that's my new thing, but...
No, Kurt Russell has
his facial
amazing
hair in
mustache.
This
thing.
Yes.
It's like a beard, but there's also a very distinct mustache on top of
it
the
comes,
beard
it's
that
like
comes
all Yosemite
out.
Yosemite Sam.
Yes!
Style.
It's fantastic. That man knows how to grow some facial hair.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, that definitely rivals his beard in The Thing, I think, personally.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Especially combined with, like, his hat. It's like a mix between a bowler hat and a cowboy hat.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
He just looks amazing all the time in every movie he's in.
And he's just always a badass.
He's always a badass. He's
calm,
ageless,
cool,
by the way.
Like,
I mean, I know he's getting older, but I can't tell. He's fantastic.
That's true.
I love him.
Agreed.
So, there's so much to talk about with
where
this movie.
Start?
I don't even know where to start. So why don't you guys pick some of your favorite parts? Maybe we can start there.
Well, I mean, from the get-go, the opening scene, it kind of just sets the tone of, like, what you're about to watch, you know?
But does it, though? Because to me, it's like two different movies.
Well, okay,
and it
yeah.
works so well as two different movies shoved into one, but there's definitely, like, a line that's crossed about 2/3 of the way through where you're in a horror movie and there's no turning
right.
back.
Right. Well, I meant more in like the gore sense, I guess. Like, you know, the opening scene is like just dude getting his fucking throat slit.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And so you're like, plus, okay, this is what we're going to do.
It gives you like an idea of when these people get taken, what they're up against.
Right.
And what is going. So like the whole movie, yes, it's like the middle's kind of maybe a bit slower and you're getting like more of that character development. But you're also like, this is going to end in a big way mm-hmm. because I saw how brutal those dudes were at the beginning. So this is going to happen and I'm excited about it.
I do kind of like how like the very beginning, like the cold open, if you will, with like Sid Haig and David Arquette. It's like a little mini film, you know, with like two well-known actors in the horror community, I would say.
Yeah, also sort of kind of, they've got this kind of comedic, like,
yes, they both do.
On.
And it works.
Yeah.
I would never put them together, but it works really well. And I forgot that I really like David Arquette. It's just been a really long time since I've seen him. And you know how
he's like, great.
In your head, people get cheesy when you don't see them for a long time. Like, I just rewatch Scream and I'm like, oh, he's such a cheesy actor. But then I see shit like this and I'm like, no, he's awesome. Why isn't
he's
in more movies?
He's good at what he does, for sure.
He is.
I met him once too and he's a super nice dude.
Is he?
He's really
short.
Did you
meet him at a horror con?
I can imagine.
Yeah, I met him at Texas Frightmare Weekend last year.
Oh, nice.
At a Wes Craven panel.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Aww. I also met Miko Hughes, who is like our age.
Yeah.
And he's the little kid from Pet Sematary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
He looks like the same, doesn't he?
He's fucking handsome, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he had girls chasing him around, literally.
For real?
All the time. Yeah.
Not surprised.
I think we need to look him up, Par. just kidding.
Yeah, but, you know, the only thing you're going to be able to think when you look into his eyes and look into his face is, boys have a penis and girls have a
yes. Probably. Or like, I just played with mommy. Now I'm going to play with you.
Yeah. That's like the best line.
And the weird, like, laugh in Pet Sematary.
No fear.
No fear. No fear. That's what I would think of. Although I would probably also think of boys have a penis and girls have a vagina. And also probably like some like Full House things too, because he was on Full House for a spell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did want to mention. I did want to mention about Bone Tomahawk. So I've seen this movie a ton of times. It's like, to me, one of the best movies of 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And the more and more I watched it, the more and more, well, especially after Westworld came out, I'm like, a lot of these, a lot of these shots and a lot of these like locations look a lot like Westworld. Did you guys catch any of that?
No, I didn't. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, especially this viewing, I like was immediately that was my thought the whole time. I was like, oh, they're walking down the street in Westworld.
Well, okay, like, so I looked it up and it's they're filmed in the same soundstage.
Oh, awesome. It's only 30 minutes outside of LA. They filmed pretty close to LA.
Yeah, it's called Paramount Ranch.
Yeah.
And so they filmed some stuff from Westworld on Paramount Ranch. And then I think all of Bone Tomahawk was filmed there.
Cool.
So like,
that's awesome.
Like the scene where David Arquette's burying the gun and there's that big tree next to him.
Yeah.
Is, I think, like the same spot where Dolores buries her or finds the buried gun.
Oh, that's pretty rad.
That's so cool.
I didn't go back to watch that Westworld episode, but I'm like,
can we go to Paramount Ranch and try to dig up these guns?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, Carly, it's right in your neck of the woods. We could make a day trip out of it.
Find out.
I'm down. Yeah. I'm down.
Oh, my God. I also like how there's, like, a lot of humor in this movie.
So much.
I love Chicory.
Yeah.
He Chicory, is my favorite.
Chicory and, Sheriff Hunt?
Yes.
What's his name? Kurt Russell?
Yes.
They're, like, big brother, little brother dynamic they got going on. Like, I love it. Like, the scene
it's
where he's
so cute.
Yeah, he's asking, he's like, you know, Sheriff, you ever read a book in the bathtub?
Yeah.
You know, yes. They're just going, they're talking. He's like, why would you want to do it? You know? And then, it's such a great.
There's a lot of that. Yeah. And then also, like, the piano guy at the beginning.
Yeah. I know the sound of Lady Liberty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He flips the sign over. Yeah, you also got to get me a drink.
Whiskey. Yeah. So much of it. I mean.
Which is good because it kind of breaks up the movie a little bit. And this movie is long. It's 2 hours and 12 minutes.
Which I don't notice it.
I didn't notice it the first time. Yeah. Second time I did because it was late at night and I was like, I want to go to sleep. But I, not that I wasn't enjoying it, but I was just like, I know there's a lot left. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to sleep anytime soon. Also, maybe not a great movie to watch right before you go to sleep, but you know, nope. That's just me. I also, there was a lot of humor in like the smart men don't get married part and the bathtub part and the flea circus part. And I just,
or the corn chowder. He's like, this tastes like corn. He's like, it's corn chowder. He's like, well, everything's lining up.
Like, it smells good now that I know it's not tea.
Exactly. I actually, on this last time watching it, I realized it has like a Stand By Me feel to it. Like the way you get so attached to all the characters and how you kind of go through these like these moments with them where they're fighting or they're laughing. You know what I mean? Like,
The camp outs.
Yeah. The arguments. Like,
totally. Yeah. Totally. I could see that. They all like.
I love how they always like apologize to each other.
That's what
like,
I mean. Yeah. They're gentlemen.
They're decent guys. They fight about shit, but they apologize. I did like that about this movie. There's like, I don't know, like, I was never, were you really into Westerns growing up?
Or, no. That's the thing I've been recently getting into ever since my wife and I watched Deadwood.
Yeah.
And then I was like, dude, Westerns are the shit.
Yeah.
And then fucking Bone Tomahawk came along and that was like, perfect for me.
Yes.
Am I cussing too much? I don't realize.
Oh, we swear all the time.
I do it all the time. Okay.
You're cool. We're not going to bleep you out. We have the listener discretion warning on iTunes.
Like, I know you guys cuss, but I'm like, I feel like I'm just going all
out. No, swear all you want, dude.
Fucking sick.
Yeah. Fucking swear. Let's fucking swear, you guys. Show how cool we are. Okay, so this movie is very much a Western for a large portion of it, really. And then suddenly this line is crossed and it's terrifying and gory and...
It's not that sudden, though. I mean, you have the intro scene, you got Sid Haig getting his shit cut up by the dark shadow guy.
True.
And then you have Buford, the stable boy.
True.
He gets murdered. So they kind of...
But they're short little spurts.
Right.
So which is like kind of normal for like... I mean, Westerns are gory, but they're not necessarily... Yeah. Horrific. And this takes a real sharp turn.
For sure, yeah.
The gore in this film is perfect.
Is it all practical effects? I didn't look that up.
I did not look it up.
It looks really good.
It does look really good.
Great.
I didn't see anything in my research about that, so I'm not really sure. I would feel like there's probably a joint component there because when the guts spill out, when they split that guy in half, I'm pretty sure that can't do that practically. If they did, insane and I want to know how they did it. Yeah. I watched a behind the scenes video really hoping they would show shit like that, but they didn't. I couldn't find much on the effects, but the effects are great. And if there is CGI, I could not tell.
Yeah.
So bravo. I can't believe this is a debut film. Like, I cannot believe that this director has never done a movie before.
Well, he's written books, I guess.
True.
Like, a lot of Western
And this
books.
Is written great.
Yeah.
But the directing is also fucking fantastic.
Yeah, totally.
Like, really, really
There's a
great.
A lot of really great shots in that movie. Like,
really
when,
great shots.
One of my favorites was, I think I wrote it down somewhere, but they're waiting for, so they're going into that trail towards the cave and they're waiting for Bruder to throw the rock.
Yeah.
And he's holding the watch.
Yeah.
And it's kind of from below angle shot.
Yeah.
And the ticking and just the tension that ticking is just building. You're like, when's the fucking rock coming? What's going to happen? You know,
it's like, that's
and then
a great shot.
The bugs, like, I don't know if you noticed the bugs in the background.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked it up and there, apparently it's like, the musical element is like not there for the most part.
Right. There's no music.
There's a little bit, because I had heard that, and so I was, like, making sure to write down when there's music. There's literally only two scenes with music.
Towards the beginning, I would guess.
Music is happening, let's see. So when they decide after the horses get stolen,
yeah,
and they're like, "All right, O'Dwyer, you're going to walk by yourself, and then we'll catch up to you." And mm-hmm. so they start catching up to him and pass him. And then music kicks on.
Oh, okay.
And it sounds actually a lot like the, I don't know if you guys ever listened to the Radiohead string quartet stuff, which they use also in Westworld. So it's got a lot.
In college. I don't really remember.
It's got that vibe. Yeah, they're just Radiohead covers, but done with strings. They're really cool. And then towards the end, when they're, Chicory and the O'Dwyers are leaving the cave, that same music comes on.
Okay.
But aside from that, there's like nothing.
Yeah.
They use like the bugs as like the musical element.
And the throat flutes. Oh my God, those throat flutes. I don't know who fucking thought that up, but that's fucking genius. I mean, I know who thought it up.
It made me think of the Velociraptors in the second, or is it the third Jurassic Park?
I don't remember. But
when, like, I think it's like Dr. Grant, I think, but I'm not 100% sure on which one it is, but he finds like the Velociraptor like vocal
and it makes
chord
like
situation or something, or they 3D print it, something, I don't know, he has one and blows on it, and that's what it means.
Well, and I mean, it's one thing to like think of like a primitive people creating flutes to communicate with each other. It's a completely different thing to think of those flutes being embedded in your throat and like that's your means for communication, and it's the most terrifying sound. And when you see it, it's so loud and jolting when you see it close up for the first time, and you're like, that's what that fucking sound was, holy shit. And they throw their heads back, terrifying. So terrifying.
And then O'Dwyer digs it out with a knife and then just wipes it on himself a little bit and then puts it in his mouth.
And after they rescue his wife, she's like, I'd kiss you, but fuck, I'm not going to kiss you.
And that's the funny part about, like, I guess that's the sign of the times, right? He just, like, kind of wipes the corners of his mouth, and she's like, all right,
she's
cool.
She's like, okay.
Well, he did rescue her, so, I mean, she can throw him a bone there.
For sure.
No pun meant there.
Oops. No bone, Tom.
Yeah, exactly. Also, I'd like to talk about Patrick Wilson's character a little bit, because he is, is that his name?
Patrick Wilson.
I don't know why I like had a brain fart and didn't think his name was Patrick Wilson anymore. I'd like to talk about Patrick Wilson for a minute, because his character's really different than all the other characters. He's very determined. He's very, like, love-struck. You can tell. Like, I love the relationship between he and his wife.
Character development's pretty good.
It's great. It's great.
So
I can really tell that the director and the writer wrote books.
Because love it so much.
It's really well-balanced. And his character acting's really good in this. And, like, people don't really think of Patrick Wilson as a maybe like a master actor, but I thought he held his own in a film with so many like amazing actors in it. I think he really held his own, and you know, he had a lot of like physical acting he had to do that I'm sure was very difficult, and I really felt for him and really sympathized with him. And when he was getting left behind and like getting his bone reset and like,
oh God, yeah.
I thought that was like his storyline. I thought was the most terrifying, because could you imagine like your loved one is probably being tortured and raped and whatever these people you don't even know who they are or where they are, and you're in the middle of nowhere and you're pretty much dying and you're in pain and like and you're by yourself. It's the by yourself part where I just started dying when they like started leaving him or like passing him. I'm like, oh, my heart just ached for him. And I just thought that that was so smart. And if anything, I thought that was the most terrifying part of this movie. Like, I totally put myself in his shoes. And,
well, because they put you in his shoes. Yeah. You know, you have all those like extended shots of him like hiking in the, you know, with the sun setting behind him. And like, you're feeling for him, you know?
And I think I forgot that he eventually catches up at the end. It wasn't till like I realized he was coming for them still that I was like, oh, I forgot about this part. And I forgot because I totally, like, for some reason in my head I was like, oh, he died, because I haven't seen this movie in like a year,
yeah,
and I totally thought that he like died, but he he doesn't. He prevails, and it's really satisfying. It's
love, you know.
Yeah, it's such a sad. It's such a satisfying feeling. Like he's all drugged up and fucked up, and he still made it, and he still like
yeah, I love
saved
that.
The day.
He's like standing there on the path, just nodding out like a fucking junkie. And then the fucking what is it? The throat flute. The throat flute wakes him up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck. Terrifying those throat flutes. All right, let me see what else I got here. I also wanted to talk about the role of women in this film because I found it really interesting. There's
three.
There's three women.
Yeah.
Okay. The main groups, we have our female doctor, who is intelligent, funny, well-spoken, tough as nails. Mm-hmm. And then we have just this group of women that's been reduced down into nothing but their basic fertility. Like,
well, I feel like the mayor's wife also was kind of a strong female character, except for
I think so.
But they also kind of gave her that, like, well, she's kind of a bitch. Like, yeah. You know, like...
Yeah.
But she was the mayor.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
Her husband wasn't the mayor.
That's
he was
true.
Just, like,
she was, like, making choices and stuff. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Where there was, like, this, here's the white women, and here's, like, their role in society, and then here's, like, the primitive people, and here's,
and
like...
And they're just laying there pregnant.
Yes. Mm-hmm. With no
with
arms
eyes.
And stakes in their eyes.
Yeah.
And how fucking sad is that? So it's, like, great to see, like, the duality of that and to compare those things, because... There's definitely an in-between there, but we're only seeing, like, the really strong and the really...
Two extremes, if you
will. Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. But,
one thing I found interesting, too, about the two, I don't know other way to call them, but the civilized women, I'm using air quotes here.
Yeah.
The non-native ones. The doctor and the mayor's wife. They're both kind of stepping into a man's role that the man can't... handle. The mayor can't be mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you guys noticed, they're referring to the doctor. They couldn't get the doctor because he's too drunk to go help.
Yeah.
So they get Mrs. O'Dwyer.
Yeah.
So I found that interesting. They're kind of showing, like, you know, even in these times, like, even the ladies had to be
this
tough.
Happened.
And this is also something I like about, like, Westerns and, like, movies and TV shows about the Wild West is that women are fucking tough as nails.
Yeah.
Because they have to be.
Yeah.
And they're regarded at a higher standard. Even, like, when you see, quote-unquote, like, prostitutes or
and
whatever.
You will see them in Westerns.
And you see them, especially in, like, Westworld and wherever. But, like... they're still fucking tough, you know? They can fucking take care of themselves and they can hold their own. So, like, that is one thing, like, as a woman, like, I can always watch, like, a good Western because it's rare that you see one where a woman isn't fucking tough as nails.
Yeah, and, unless I think if you're talking about the older Westerns, which I haven't fucked with, really, but
I haven't
would
imagine, watched a lot
like,
of
your
those.
John Wayne movies have the damsel in distress.
No, and there totally are, but in a lot of the ones that I've seen anyway, I can say, you know that women are pretty badass in those.
They're still sassy and like they have their moments.
But you know, all around though, all together, not to discredit the women, obviously, but everybody had to be tough as shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you have
totally
Sheriff Hunt. Like that dude's tough as nails.
Yeah. No, they all are tough, and they all hold their own. And it's kind of nice to see all the characters on the same level. Like everyone in this movie, like, is tough and can hold their own, except for the poor women who were amputated and have stakes in their eyes. Obviously, they can't hold their own anymore because they have stakes in their eyes and they have no limbs.
I'm gonna go out on a limb, but on
not limb
on all the characters.
Sorry.
I think Bruder is actually the weakest one.
Yeah.
And he's like the ladies' man, like, you know what I mean?
Totally. I would agree that
he's the weakest one.
Yeah, because he's like first to shoot and he's the one. He's the one that's reduced to tears in the end and
well, yeah, what is he? I wrote it down actually.
Like he does act tough and he does talk a talk, but I think
when it came down to it, he says,
is smart, but
he says, I'm far too vain to live as a cripple.
Yeah.
You know, he's bummed out that he got his fucking hand cut off, which, you know, you tie it up. You could probably survive. Yeah. But he's like, no, I'm done.
That's
like,
true. I can't do he it. Does. He just fucking rolls over and gives up. Everyone fucking gets beat up in this movie. And they all keep fucking going. Kurt Russell's at the end.
Like, yeah, he's shot a few times.
Well,
he's
got and he even said
in his side.
Yeah, and he said the what's his name? Donner? The guy with the D.
Bruder,
yeah.
No, I thought it was D. Bruder says, like, oh, give me the dynamite, I'll blow them all up, and then doesn't do shit. And they're just getting dragged up. Like, way to go, Bruder, you fucking suck.
Well, because he gave it away, right? He shot, I think he shot his gun, and then the other guy came out and just, you're done.
Yeah. So,
Actually, I wanted to mention that, too, actually, was going back to the no music thing. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that because it didn't give away, like, that something was going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the scene right before Bruder gets his hand cut off. They're all kind of looking, making a plan, what's going to happen. And then, boom, you get hit with an arrow. Chicory gets hit with a rock. And it all just went down like that. But there was no music leading up to that. So it was just kind of like, holy shit. You know, like, what just happened?
Yeah, totally.
It, like, intensified those scenes, I think.
Totally. All right. Well, I talked about everything that I had written in as talking points.
I loved the fleet discussion. I know we talked about it before, but, like, it's just so endearing.
It really is.
How she's like, well, they do. Like, usually they use tricks, but that particular family uses real fleas. Yeah. And she's, like, so happy with that answer.
Cute.
And
I love that.
It just makes me love him even more.
She's like, he's a kid, and I'm going to treat him like he's a kid.
Yeah. He's like, thanks for verifying that for me.
Really, really, really adorable.
It's so sweet.
Okay, I'm going to wrap this up, you guys, because we're running out of time. Last minute thoughts, if you have them, and then we're moving on.
I just wanted to mention one of my favorite lines, because, again, I was saying I like it when, you know, you got the kind of badass lines or whatever. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that last thing that Hunt says to Chicory. He says, say goodbye to my wife, and I'll say hello to yours.
Yes.
Yes.
Best line ever. I wrote that down, too.
It's, like, so tough, so badass, but, like, tender at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah.
It totally is. I wrote that line down, too. I love, love, love that line. The writing in this is really...
So good.
I think we should, like, try and read this guy's books, because apparently he knows what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah. He does good things.
Yeah. I'm impressed.
With the word.
And I know he has a couple other movies in the works right now. They don't appear to be horror films, but I'm going to check them out. I think that
I would definitely see them.
Yeah, probably still be good.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to our Ask Final Girl segment. I asked you guys to send your questions in today, as I usually do the day of our recording, and nobody sent me questions, and I was very hurt, sad, upset, and disgusted, so I threatened to talk about Gilmore Girls for the entire episode, and suddenly we got a lot of questions. Because I felt bad. I was like, I don't mind talking about Gilmore Girls for a half hour, but Javi probably doesn't want to hear me talk about Gilmore Girls.
I didn't mind it, actually.
No?
No.
Do you have any interest in the Gilmore Girls?
No, I don't.
No.
I even Buffy, like, I tried watching Buffy. I didn't watch it when it was on TV.
Yeah.
And I don't know, for me it didn't hold up.
How many episodes did you get in? Because it's really worth it.
Okay, yeah, you know,
if you stick with it,
watch it again.
I think you should try it because it's amazing.
Well, because I wasn't paying attention, you know, that happens.
Yeah, and when you first start watching Buffy, there is this thing where it's like, oh, it's so cheesy and like 90s feeling and like Sarah Michelle Gellar really. But then you get into it and you're like, fuck, this show is so good. And it gets so good.
But isn't it, didn't you guys say it's not going to be on Netflix now?
No, but it is on Hulu.
Oh,
yeah, it is going to be on Hulu.
We'll make it work, Javi. I'll make it work. I also
we'll
have
look it up.
The first season on DVD, so we can discuss. Okay, so Ask Final Girls. After I threatened everybody, a bunch of questions came in. Cat Black. Our boy, Cat Black, would you like to see a continuation of the Evil Dead series with Mia as the main character? Carly?
No.
For real?
I didn't like the remake of Evil Dead.
For real? That is a bold statement, girl.
I was not into it like everybody was into it. And I don't know if it's because like everybody was like, it's the most amazing thing. And so I like was going into it like really excited.
See, the hype train.
Yeah, and then I was like kind of bummed out about it, but I don't know, like trying to take that series, especially because like Ash is so iconic and like trying to put someone else into that role, I don't think I would be into it personally.
I am disappointed by your answer. Hobby, your turn.
Yeah, I would be into it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the Evil Dead remake.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it was great.
I thought it was great. It was super gory and intense.
Also practical effects.
Lots of really cool practical effects. I didn't have any expectations going into it. And if I did, they were very low. So I didn't have the issue Carly had with it.
Yeah.
Maybe you should try rewatching it now that your expectations have been lowered.
I wouldn't be opposed to it. That has happened before where I've seen a movie
that's happened
and been let
too.
Down and then seen it again and been on board
with
it.
Yeah, that's happened to me too. And I think that this is still really well done. And it's nice to see a female character in the Ash role. And mm-hmm. I think she does a really good job. Super gory, super intense, and really fun, and still kind of campy. So I loved it.
Yeah.
Well, it's the girl from Don't Breathe, right?
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
Jane Levy.
Okay.
It is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which my unpopular opinion like that movie's not that great. But
of Don't Breathe?
I didn't like it.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it, too.
I mean, I liked it, but I had a thing where I thought it would be better.
To me, it was like a...
I liked the middle.
It was like a gorier version of, like, People Under the Stairs. It's, like, the same premise.
Yeah. I could see that.
Of that movie.
I didn't like how there was, like, a weird Cujo scene in the middle of the movie for whatever reason, and then, like, moved on to a different thing. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm watching Cujo for a little while and then moving on to a different movie. Okay.
I think that's, like, one of the few movies where I didn't really care about... Like, I didn't need the backstory. I wasn't curious about the characters. I didn't really even need to like the characters. So, like, the beginning, I was kind of like, whatever. The end, I was kind of like, whatever. But I was really into, like, the scenes in the house.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah, it was good. I liked it.
Okay, moving on. Riley Man asks two questions. What is the most rewatchable horror film, in your opinion? Carly.
What?
Okay, Javi.
I might get made fun of
That's okay.
by you guys, because I'm pretty sure one of you or both of you mentioned you don't like this movie, but to me, it's Child's Play.
Awesome. Neither of us said we didn't like Child's Play.
Maybe I just made that up.
I liked
Child's
Play.
I said that I've never been a Child's Play person, but I always liked the films.
To me, the first one is like...
The first one's great.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's still great.
And I rewatch it all the time.
Yeah.
So
I hear you. I have a few...
to pick more than one?
Well,
Candyman also.
Candyman yeah. also. Okay. Yeah. I like to in terms of rewatchable movies, I like to pick something that's kind of like campy and fun, rather than something that's very much horror or dark. So I picked Halloween 2 and Sleepaway Camp. Or Halloween 3 and Sleepaway Camp.
Season of the Witch?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because it's so much fun to watch.
That's true.
They're both very much fun to watch. There's a really strong campy element.
I knew you were
going to
say Sleepaway Camp, though. Is that what you said, Sleepaway
Camp?
Yeah,
I totally said Sleepaway Camp. Sleepaway Camp's one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
It's so good.
It's so good. Carly, your most rewatchables.
I feel like I go through phases, though. So, like, today, I would probably say Cabin in the Woods, because it's kind of like three different movies in one. Mm-hmm. I feel like I could, like, put it on and do other things and, like, still be kind of, like, entertained by what's going on. And then, of course, we have Richard Jenkins tie-in to Bone Tomahawk.
It's
awesome. So that's probably my first instinct.
Nice.
I'll just pick one.
That works. Riley Mann's second question is, what movie would you like to turn into a horror movie? His was Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, man.
Awesome.
How much time do we
have for this? I would probably say...
we're trying to get through them pretty quick, because we have quite a few, because I threatened to talk about Killmonger.
I definitely would love to see that, the Scary Mary Poppins.
Oh, yeah, that Scary Mary YouTube trailer
is
terrifying. It really scared me, like, the first time
me
I watched it, that haunting song at the end and her head spinning around.
I was like, I want to see this movie immediately.
Yeah. I don't know. Mrs. Doubtfire is a pretty good one. I don't know.
That could also be terrifying.
It's a hard one.
It is a hard one. I'm going to go ahead and say, this is just off the top of my head, but I think it would be really cool if they made an adult version of Hocus Pocus that was, like, real horror.
That's a good call.
Because I think if they made that, like, legit scary, not Disney at all, that would be fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
Or maybe Jim Carrey's The Mask.
Well, I was thinking Cable Guy, but I feel like...
Or the Cable Guy, yeah.
Oh my god,
didn't
yes.
They, didn't someone make a Cable Guy horror trailer?
Too? Oh, maybe. I'm not sure. I haven't seen that, one.
That would be a good one.
Oh.
I mean, it's almost kind of a...
It is. It's pretty dark.
It's pretty dark.
It's a pretty dark comedy. Okay, at Giant Bee With You asks, if you could remake any of the Stephen King adaptations, which would you choose? Who wants to take this one first? I'll start. I have three. I can never just pick one of these things. I'm an asshole. So my first is Needful Things, because that movie sucks, but it's a great story. The Running Man, because it's super outdated and they could make it so, so good right now. I feel like, especially with all like the Battle Royale, Hunger Games type movies that are popular right now, I think a Running Man remake would be pretty rad.
Are you talking the Schwarzenegger one?
Yes!
I didn't realize that was a Stephen King.
Oh, it totally is.
Either,
holy shit.
Oh, yeah, that's it totally is.
Although, when's the last time you watched The Running Man? I don't know if that thing needs to be
about
touched.
3 weeks ago, and it's, yes, it does.
Really? Oh, it's so great. And you,
I mean,
the
it's
guy's
great.
Head explodes.
I mean, it's great, but I think that a darker, less campy version of that would be phenomenal.
Yeah, minus the Schwarzenegger
one-liners.
Yeah,
you know, get rid of the Schwarzenegger one-liners and have, like, a real legit horror film. I think that could be rad. Also, Children of the Corn desperately is in need of a remake.
That was mine.
I know, but I wrote it down before you said yours.
So, yeah, I agree with you.
It's too slow.
It's
and
so slow.
There's so much scary shit that they could just pump up and beef up and cut out some of that slow shit and make it really good.
Yeah.
Also, just side note, I'm super excited for It. The It trailer comes out soon, and probably by the time this airs, the It trailer will be out. So we'll do an It trailer trash talk next week. I'm looking forward to it. And I just wanted to say that out loud. Carly.
I definitely agree, Children of the Corn. And I think my pick would actually be It. So I'm excited that it is being remade.
Nice.
Because that movie was, like, ideas of it are so terrifying, but it just was so long that, like, you don't really have time to be scared of anything that's happening.
True.
In my personal opinion.
True, true.
So I'm excited to see what they do with it.
Okay. At Hit'em20 says, who do you think is the father of Rory's baby? Because we got a Gilmore's Girls question, baby!
Love it! My heart wants to say the Wookiee, but I think it's Logan.
There's no way it's the Wookiee. It was way too early.
But it's a Wookiee, so I wanted to just say that. It was the Wookiee. Okay. The Wookiee's Rory's baby's dad.
That's in, like, the second episode.
What the fuck is that?
We're talking about Gilmore Girls. So Rory has sex with a Wookiee. It's fine.
Yeah.
In the second episode is spring, and the last episode is fall. So there's no way she wouldn't be showing by the end of fall.
I know.
If it
That's
was
why
the
I said
Wookiee.
I honestly think it's Logan.
It's definitely Logan. She's sucks. Fucking pisses me off. All right.
Me too. So pissed.
Right, Javi? I wish it was the Wookiee's baby. Fuck Logan. All right, that's enough of that, because I promised you guys we wouldn't do that to you, so I'm not going to.
No, Buffy the Final Gilmore Girl?
No, you know, we're done talking about Buffy. I finished Buffy for now. Although, if we get Buffy questions, I'm not opposed to it. I just want to give a couple shout-outs before we talk about what's going on with us. So, the Horror Business Podcast, we were just on the Horror Business Podcast, and as I'm speaking, they have released their episode. So go on and download that one. We talk about Fire in the Sky and Dark Skies in that episode.
Oh, I love
Super
that.
Super fun.
Fire in the Sky
yes.
scared the shit out of me when I was a kid.
Yeah, totally. So we talk about that, and it was a lot of fun going on their podcast, so check it out,
really
guys.
Was.
Also, coming up, super big announcement. We're very excited that we're going to be on the Modern Horrors podcast in about a week and a half or 2 weeks. And I'm super stoked. We're gonna get to talk about The Void.
I'm super excited.
The
super
trailer
excited.
Trash talk we did for last week. So we're really excited. We're stoked that those guys, for some reason, think we're worthy, and we're excited to be on there. Also excited to throw some estrogen at that podcast because they could use it sometimes.
by the handfuls, right?
Yeah. So, Javi, why don't you tell us what you're watching, what's going on with you, what you're interested in? All three of those things at once. Go.
What am I watching? What am I interested in?
Just talk about whatever you want.
I play in a band.
Yes. You want to plug your band?
I'm gonna.
Do it.
Do it.
We're called Polish.
Yep.
Not Polish.
You know, I was always wondering that. It's called Polish, not Polish.
Yeah.
But you can't tell when you read it.
I know. That's kind of what's fun
about
it.
Yeah, it's so great. I love it. Continue.
yeah, I mean, I wasn't prepared for that question.
Do you want to talk about some of your influences? Your band's influences? Like, if you like this, you might like us?
Yeah, it's heavily influenced by the Pixies and Nirvana, I guess.
Like we early Nirvana?
Yeah.
Like In Utero Nirvana?
maybe even like Bleach Nirvana.
Nice. Rad.
Not as metal-y, I guess. There's a lot of punk elements, I guess. We actually started as a Pixies cover band and then just decided to be a real band.
That's great. And Javi's actually in a band with Carly and I's friend Mike, who we went to college with. And
old Mikey.
My tattoo artist's wife is also in that band. I'm sure you all are interested in that.
Yeah, if anyone's ever heard of Gloomsday, she's also in that band.
A lot of talented musicians in this band.
It's
check
really
it out.
Matt, actually.
Yeah.
The drummer, if you have a good drummer, then you're good. You're good
I don't
to go.
Think that that's necessarily true. I mean, yes, a good drummer is important, but you guys are all good musicians. And yeah, you guys check them out. Where can they find your music?
You can go to Bandcamp. Just search for Polish. We're the only rock band on there. There's like DJ Polish and like some other like dancey stuff, but
DJ Polish is a dude.
Yeah,
nice.
But yeah, just Bandcamp, Polish, Facebook, also Polish, and then Instagram. I think we're
Polish, not Polish. Polish.
Yeah, Polish, not Polish. Yeah, so that's what I do. And then yeah, just watch horror movies.
Yeah. Nice. So any movies that you've watched recently or TV shows you're into right now?
I literally just today before coming here went to see Get Out.
Yeah.
And that was a fucking trip.
It's so good.
It's really
so good.
So good. And I love how popular it is and how everyone just loves it and how it's being hyped up. And I've literally never heard anybody say, that movie's too hyped up, because it fucking lives up to it.
Yeah, I was
so
worried about that, too, because there's so much hype.
I was, too.
I was like, oh, I hope this is not, like, one of those things, you know? But it lived up. It was incredible.
Yeah, totally.
I'm not watching any shows right now, though.
No.
All
right, cool.
Simpsons, that's all. I'm a huge Simpsons fan, so.
Yeah.
I watched my Simpsons
even
DVDs.
The new ones. Do you still watch the new ones or just old
no
ones?
I don't watch anything on the TV. I have all this
on the TV. Are you my grandmother?
On the television box.
I don't watch on the TV. yeah, I'm old. No, I have all the, I think they have only seasons 1 through 17 plus 20 on DVD.
Okay,
so I have all 1 through 17, so I'll just
quite an accomplishment, hobby.
You should see the room.
Yeah, he has the room.
I have a room dedicated to all my Simpsons and horror toys and
nice
collectible shit.
Yes,
because I'm a grown ass man.
Javi is seriously one of my only friends that rivals my horror addiction, and I appreciate him
for
that.
Which is crazy to me. How is there not
right
other people?
I mean, it's weird. It's weird, especially when you have so many friends like into like punk and hardcore. Like usually those things go fucking hand
it's
in
true.
Hand.
Yeah.
And I just don't really have that here. But I appreciate our newfound friendship and our bond with horror. And thank you for coming on the show.
I thank you for having me. I know
we're stoked to have you.
You didn't have to, and
I wanted to. I had been asking
since before the podcast. I said, hey, if you ever want someone to come in there and talk, like, I'm down.
Well, we will have more episodes where we can have you on, and we appreciate you coming on. It was a really fun conversation.
Yeah, I agree. It was fun.
I appreciate it. Carly, anything new you want to report?
I went on the WB tour studio tour yesterday, and so I was basically in Stars Hollow all day.
I mean, you lucky bitch. Did you get to see Miss Patty's barn?
I did.
She's talking about Gilmore Girls.
Okay, I was like, this has to be Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, totally. I did. I'll send it to you. I'll send you the picture. Yeah. And it's fun because they said that that was actually built specifically for Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
And the studio told them that they didn't have to like tear it down when they were finished with it because they thought they would be able to use it for other stuff.
Nice.
I saw Luke's completely bare. It was like sat in Dosey's Market.
Nice.
The gazebo was not in the center of Stars Hollow. Apparently Stars Hollow and whatever town is from Pretty Little Liars are the same thing.
Yes. So there's a couple shows where I'm like, that's Luke's, but it's not Luke's right now.
Yeah. So that was cool. I also got to see where they filmed the Jurassic Park scene where the T-Rex is chasing Ellie and Malcolm.
Nice.
Down the thing. And they also filmed some of Skull Island right in that little pond area there. It was a lot of fun. Oh, I rode the bat cycle, the from Dark Knight Rises.
Nice.
That was cool.
It was a fun time. The motorcycle?
Yeah, the bat pod.
Wait, where was this at, Carly?
The Warner Brothers studio tour.
Oh, nice.
I'll have to check that out sometime. I want to visit Stars Hollow and see Jurassic Park stuff.
I got sorted by the sorting hat from Harry Potter.
You love Harry Potter so
much. I'm a Ravenclaw, by the way.
I don't really care about it, but I'm very excited for you.
It was a lot of fun.
I got a subscription to Shudder, and it's made my life about 1,000% better.
Is it? Yay. It's worth it?
For me, it is, because I tend to not watch movies if they're not easily accessible to me.
Yeah.
And Shudder has a collection of films that I can't seem to find anywhere else. So especially as someone who, I mean, when you're into horror and you have a horror podcast, you hear about all sorts of movies that maybe have cult followings that maybe you're not as familiar with. So like, that I would never watch unless I ended up buying the DVD or something.
Yeah.
So they have a lot of really cool, like, older movies that I've maybe had on my list to see for a really long time, but never got around to renting or hunting down on DVD.
Yeah, because I've been toying with that, getting that, and I'm like, I don't know if it's worth it.
It's so cheap.
Yeah.
It's $50 for the whole year.
50?
For the whole year.
Damn.
It's really cheap. To me, it's worth it. It's a great birthday gift idea, Abby. I don't know if you have a birthday coming up. I'm just saying.
It just passed.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Belated birthday.
Anniversary
Easter.
Easter gift. It's a
Easter
great
present.
Easter gift.
Yeah.
Also, there's just really some really good stuff on there that I can't seem to find other places.
Cool.
And they have releases that are only for Shudder now that they're putting out. And I just watched Prevenge, which I was really excited about seeing, and it's only on Shudder right now. So
nice.
With some limited release dates in theaters. But so I'm stoked. And I recommend it. And if you're a listener and you have Shudder, let us know, and maybe we'll do a couple movies on there.
Love Shudder
coming
day.
Up because
Shudder
there's
episode.
Some. Yeah, we'll do like some random Shudder episodes, just because they have some really cool stuff that I would love to talk about.
And I think even if you pay monthly, it's only what, like $5 or something.
It's like less than $5 a month.
It's like $4.99 a month or something. Yeah. Like it's so crazy cheap.
It really is, and I think worth it. And they also have a streaming channel that's free. Should you want to just turn it on and see what horror movie's playing. Sometimes you can catch some cool movies.
We did that once.
We did. We did do that once, and it was fun.
We were like, what is this?
What were we watching? I forget what it was called.
Something about spring.
Yeah, the spring. Rites of Spring.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they have some good stuff on there. I recommend it. Okay. Well, I think that's it. Let's close out. Thanks to Troy from Cave Bastard for a song sequencing the drone and Jason Link for our amazing logo. Visit finalgirlshorrorcast.com for information on them or to listen to all of our episodes, because now that we have so many of them that they're not even all showing up on iTunes or any of your podcatchers, it's very exciting stuff that we only have 20 episodes on iTunes right now. I don't know why it's doing that. I need to, like, research it. We also still have stickers to give away. If you're interested in getting some stickers, all you have to do is share our podcast on social media or rate and review us on iTunes, then send us an email to finalgirlshorrorcast@gmail.com and we'll send some directly to you.
I got one.
Final Girls Horrorcast is part of the Phantom Podcast Network. We are available on downrightcreepy.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TunedIn, and pretty much anywhere else you can stream a podcast. We are also very active on social media, so please interact with us. You can find us on Twitter at FinalGirlsHC, and on Instagram and Facebook, just search for Final Girls Horrorcast.
That's it today, my lovelies. Tune in next week when we do Street Trash and The Greasy Strangler. Some super hard-to-watch movies. Both available to stream on Amazon Prime. I'm really excited for some gross-out horror. And some cheesiness.
And some dicks.
And some, I was going to say, and some penis.
Well, look forward to some dicks. I mean, we were recently talking about on...
Cock blockers.
Yeah, cock blockers. Because apparently, we were talking about this with the Modern Horrors podcast on social media, is that... Amazon is taking penis scenes out of movies.
What?
Or yeah. taking the movies down so that then the directors have to go back and like edit those scenes out so that they will get put on Amazon Prime.
That's the more accurate version of what I was trying to say.
You want people to see dick?
Apparently, but you can see pussy and boobs all day. It's yeah, totally day. Fine. But dick, no.
Not X-ray on my watch.
On the ick day.
Sorry, ladies. Yeah. That's a real bummer.
So...
Free the penis.
Us at Final Girls Horrorcast, we say no. Show us the penises.
Free the
By
dick.
The way, please don't show us your penises. We're not interested.
Yeah, get ready for solicited dick pics.
I know, I really... Please do not... No, can I take that? I'll edit it out. No, I won't.
No, you won't.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you again, Javi, for coming on with us and hanging out.
Thank you, ladies. It was fun.
And until next week, I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Bye. Bye.